Well, hey, thanks for joining me. Let's pray. You know, let's continue to pray for our country. Let's pray for Joe Biden. Let's pray for Kamala Harris, for Congress, right? We'll pray for all those who, given the noble vocation to serve. Let's pray for that mother today who has found out she's pregnant and does not think she should keep that child. She thinks it's going to ruin her life. Let's pray for those parents who are seeking to adopt or have children, right? Let's pray for any woman, any man who made the horrible mistake. It was an egregious mistake to go forward with the abortion. I want you to know, and I say this because I think it's so important for you to hear, and I'm so passionate about it. God loves you. His mercy is greater than the greatest sin you could ever commit. You know, I heard a friend of mine, Father Chris Alar, he's a great Mary of the Immaculate Conception. He once made a really beautiful case. He said something to me, and Faustina wrote this in the diary. He talked about sin. If you took all the sin in the world, every horrific, abominable sin that has ever created since the beginning of time, right? That is but a drop in the ocean of God's mercy. I mean, think about that. Put your sin in that context. So I want you, if you've made the mistake of abortion, to turn to God, ask for forgiveness. If you're Catholic, I really encourage you to get to confession and be healed. All right? Be healed. Get the healing you need. And know that God loves you and that he wants to forgive you. All right? And today, I think we need to pray for anyone who's suffering the wounds. I was struck by Mary Fiorito, who called in, and I think it was her, maybe it was another guest, who said that, I think it was Mary, that on average, you know, there's a 50% rate of recidivism for any woman who's had an abortion. So she's had one. There's a 50% probability she had a second. So it's tough. Look, we're about to pray a prayer that our Lord gave to St. Faustina. You know, and I think this is a prayer, more than any other prayer, for to bring about an end to the culture of death. I mean, I really believe this. In St. Faustina's diary, it's diary entry, I think it's number 39. Let me just share with you what St. Faustina wrote. She said this. She says, "One day Jesus told me that he would cause a chastisement to fall upon the most beautiful city in our country. He said, I saw the great wrath of God, and a shudder pierced my heart closely to me during the sacrifice of the Mass, and I offered the blood and my wounds to the Father in expiation for the sins of that city that you know." That's what the Lord said to her. With regard to that incident, St. Faustina's spiritual director, her confessor, was a man by the name of Blessed, Father Michael Sopochko, and he gave sworn testimony, you know, during her beatification process, that people asked, well, what city was he going to destroy? And he testified that the city that this angel of wrath that the Lord talked about and Faustina would later see was an angel of wrath, was the city of Warsaw in Poland that she was talking about. It was a very prominent center for providing abortions and abortion procedures. And by the way, they were usually performed after hours. They were done like at 8 to 11 o'clock at night. And I've shared with you many times in the past, that's the exact hour that St. Faustina would go through these mystical pains, these abdominal pains of what a child would go through an abortion. And he said that the main reason was on account of the city was going to be destroyed on quote, the crimes committed there, especially on the massacre of infants not yet born, the most grievous crime of all. And Faustina, in 1935, it was September 13th. Mark your calendar on that day, because that's the anniversary of this chaplet. She wrote this, and I'll just share this one passage since today we remember life in a special way, and I think it's well worth hearing. She says, "When I saw the divine wrath that was about to strike the earth, and in a particular place, I began to implore this angel to hold off just for a few minutes. But my plea was nothing in the face of the divine anger. And just then, I saw the most holy Trinity. That very moment, I felt in my soul the power of Jesus' grace. When I became conscious of this grace, I was instantly snatched up before the throne of God, and I found myself pleading with God for the world with these words that I heard interiorly. And as I began to pray those words, I saw the angel become helpless. And he couldn't carry out the just punishment that was rightly due for the sins. Never, Never had I ever prayed with such interior power as I did. The next morning that I entered the chapel, I heard those interior words. And the Lord said to me, every time you enter the chapel, recite the prayer that you heard. And you know what that prayer was? It's the prayer that we stay every day in the chaplet. St. Faustina pleaded with the Lord. She pleaded with him, for the sake of your sorrowful passion, have mercy on us. That was what she said, on us. But the Lord came to her the next day in the chapel and said, add this. It's not just a prayer for you, it's a prayer for the world. He said, for the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us. And he added, and on the whole world. This is a prayer for the world. This is a prayer that mitigated an angel with set on a mission by God to chastise, to correct a sinful people. The sin that called down God's justice was the sin of abortion. And I really believe that evil hates this prayer, hates this prayer. This is a prayer that brings God's justice. This is a prayer that we should pray every day for an end to the culture of death in this country. Let's do it now. All right, let's pray for one another. Let's pray that God will hear our cry, all right, for those needs that you have, for your finances and your health and for your family and for all the other things that you invoke God for. And let's just ask him to forgive us for the ways we offend him. And we all sin. We all have made terrible mistakes, right? And I just thank him for his mercy. I don't deserve it, you know, but that's what mercy really is, right? I certainly don't deserve it, but God in his mercy has granted it to me many times. I know he wants to grant it to you. I want to pray for you now. If you're on hold, we'll get you on the air. Before we do that, Maggie, anything you want to pray for?
I want to lift up Tim, the passionate man who just called in to the show. You know, he said he listens faithfully all the time, even though he is an atheist and doesn't stand with us on the issue of life. So I want to pray that the Lord would open his eyes and his heart and to hear the echo of Mary's fiat.
I love that. Beautiful prayer, Maggie. Tim, we're praying for you, brother. I'm glad you listen. I know you love us. I know you like the debate. We'll pray that truth illuminates your mind and it convicts your heart. All right, converts make the best Catholics, don't they? The best followers of Christ, and those who've come and sought truth and have found it. I believe if you seek truth, I really do. And you look at some of the great Scott Hahns and all these other people. If you pursue truth and you're really open to it, God will give you the grace to find it, and man, your life will change. So I invite anyone who's not Catholic, who's been listening to this show or to Relevant Radio, you're thinking about entering the Catholic Church, this is your invitation. Today, accept it, okay? Go to a local Catholic parish and say, hey, I'm interested in learning more about the faith. They got a program called RCIA. There's lots of other programs out there online you can check out. I invite you to be part of it. But let's pray right now. And by the way, your prayer intentions, if you want to get them on the air, Maggie will take them. She'll bring them to air. If you go to Twitter, at Drew Mariani Show, we'll pray for you there as well. But let's begin. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
You expired, Jesus, but the source of life gushed forth for souls, and the ocean of mercy opened up for the whole world. O font of life, unfathomable divine mercy, envelop the whole world and empty yourself out upon us. O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And I believe in God, the Father Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and was born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he arose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Amen. All right, let's take our first call today. Joanne is praying with us in Sauk Rapids, Minnesota. Hi, Joanne.
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
My prayer is that God will change the minds and hearts of our state senate. Our representatives have passed the PRO Act, and the bill will be before the state senate next week. We have it's very close, very divided, and if just a few hearts are changed, I'd like them all to be changed.
Amen.
But if we can avoid any passing of this bill, I ask for God's mercy.
Joanne, first of all, thanks for calling. Thank you for such an beautiful and impassioned prayer. And I love what you said. It was so true. Even just a few hearts change, we can make a difference. Today is the perfect day to pray for this prayer. I'm really going to ask our Lord in a special way, his sacred and his divine heart, just to really take those souls and Lord, give them the grace of conversion. That's what we're praying. This is a prayer of conversion, too. You know, Lord said to St. Faustina, he says, I desire you to profoundly, it's to know profoundly the love that burns in my heart for souls. You know, he says, you'll understand this if you meditate on my passion. And something we should all do, meditate on the passion. We can do it during this chaplet. But he says, call upon my mercy on behalf of sinners because I desire their salvation. When you pray this prayer with a contrite heart and with faith on behalf of some sinner, I will give them the grace of conversion. That's such a great promise, isn't it? Well, blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus, is a fountain of mercy for us. I trust in you. That's the prayer he told St. Faustina to pray. We should pray that over and over again. But this prayer of the chapel is just that. Lord, I pray for the conversion of those who are blinded by sin, whose minds have been darkened by the culture of death, those in our family and loved ones who've been blinded by the culture and by the ideologies of our day, by the false promises of the evil one. I give them to you now as we pray. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right. Our next call. Is it Linda in Oswego or is it Julie? Julie. Okay. I saw Linda up there. Julie, good afternoon. Thanks for calling from Bloomington, Minnesota.
Hello.
Hi.
I'm calling for prayers for my dad, Harold, who is dying. Hopefully you can hear me better now.
Yeah, no, I can hear you. I'm sorry to hear that, Julie. I really am. All right, let's pray for him. 90 years old is what my call screener's telling me. He's 90 years old. I think I lost Julie.
That's correct.
All right. Well, we will lift him up right now, okay? And keep praying this prayer for him, okay? It is a powerful prayer for the sick, and it is a powerful prayer for the dying. My grandfather, who died at 97, my parents were praying this prayer for him at his bedside, and he had actually died and came back after have been passed over, and he met two men on the other side, very handsome, chiseled features. He described these, I believe they were angels that he met, and they said, it's not your time yet, Joe. And they said, and then he came back. The reason I think he came back, and I won't belabor this too much, is to illustrate to my mother and father how powerful this prayer is for the sick and dying. Kind of came back to say, this is the power of the prayer. He lived six more months and then God called him home. But Lord, I know you promised that anyone who prays this prayer will be given special graces at the hour of their death, and for those whom it's prayed for. So I pray right now for Julie's father, and I pray for all those approaching the threshold of eternity. And I pray for my death, the death of all who unite with me now. Be our merciful Savior and welcome us to paradise. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion. sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
You know, I want to pray for peace, too. I mean, this conflict in Ukraine can really flare up even into a greater degree. And just ask for a peaceful end to that conflict and for peace in the world. And before we go to Linda, who's waiting in Illinois to join us, Maggie, I know you've been monitoring our Twitter feed. Who's asking for prayer today?
Drew, Michelle wrote to us and said, please pray today for my grandchild, aborted 15 years ago, and for my son, her father, who is still struggling with post-abortive syndrome, and for all men who have been robbed of their fatherhood. Matthew from Fort Wayne, Indiana says, I'd like to pray for my brothers Scott, Mike, and Andy, who are all sheriffs that enforce the law. Please pray for their safety and that we might enjoy a safe community because of them.
Amen.
Anne wrote to us and said, please pray for my daughter who will be taking her nursing boards tomorrow. I pray that the Holy Spirit will guide her and help her to come up with the right answers. An anonymous user wrote to us and said, thanks for praying this during the chaplet. Pray for healing of my grandbaby. He's only 3 months old and suffering horrible eczema. He's in so much pain. Jesus, we trust in you. John says, hi, Drew and Maggie, asking for prayers for my left knee replacement on February 15th, that it goes well and that I can walk better again. And Diggy wrote to us and said, please pray for our Lord to introduce my son to his future wife soon.
Great prayer.
He's getting discouraged after so much prayer, sacraments, and adoration. No luck yet.
Oh, she's coming. If he's spending all that time in prayer. Gosh, my kids, I've got four that aren't married, and you know, I always pray for their future spouse. That's such a great prayer. Let's pray for that. Speaking of knee replacements, how's your dad, Meg?
He's doing great. I want to pray for extra patience for him because he's got a couple weeks where he's just laid up now. Yeah. So
tough stuff.
Yeah.
We'll pray for anyone who needs hip joint replacements, whatever they may be, for all those beautiful intentions that came in. I want to thank everyone who sent me your answered prayers. I was checking email last night. I had a ton of answered prayers come in. Thank you for taking the time to do that. If God is answering your prayers through this chaplet, write to me, drew@relevantradio.com. Linda is praying with us in Oswego, Illinois. Linda, thanks for your patience. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Drew. I'm just calling because I am a widow. I am on fixed income, and I have non-Hodgkin's lymphoma.
Oh, man.
Through a generous grant, I've been able to have a great medicine that has been helping me throughout all of this. Today, when I tried to renew my prescription, I found out that the grant has expired. Wow. I am calling to see if you could please pray that this grant again will be refilled for me so that I can continue on with this great medicine that has been given to me.
Aww.
Thank you very much.
Without
this grant, I could not afford this medicine.
I'm so sorry to hear that. Well, let's pray for that financial miracle. I think it was St. Albert the Great that said, the greater, the more persistent your confidence in God is, the more abundantly you will receive all that you ask. And you seem like a soul that has great and persistent confidence. Confidence can be another word for trust, right? You got great and persistent trust in God. He said, the more abundantly, you know, you'll receive all that you ask. And I believe that. Lord, I ask for a financial miracle right now, that this grant be restored for Linda, that she can continue to have the medicine she needs. I pray for all those who are struggling financially, who can't pay their bills, who are drowning in debt, whose credit cards are mounting, Lord, who just don't know how they'll ever get out from this. And I ask, as a God of providence, that you multiply, that you allow your abundance to surprise them. And I pray for that today. I pray for those who have this dreaded, you know, costly medicine, and they're wondering how they're going to afford it. Pray for health and for finances and all those temporal needs that we have as we pray. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy. mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
And Joanne, I just am seeing your email just came in at the top of this hour, and this is a critical prayer. She's saying, please pray for my sister-in-law, Jessie. She's 76. She's at the end of her life journey now with liver failure, and she's a Protestant, so she has no last rites. I've been praying the chaplain often. I know your prayers are answered. We are with you, and you are right about this prayer. This is the prayer for the sick and for the dying, and we will entrust her into the merciful arms of our Lord. Chris in Oak Creek, let's add you to this decade as well. Good afternoon.
Hi, Drew. The reason for my call is to thank you and everyone that prayed the chaplet with me. My daughter had a hard time with her pregnancy.
Yeah.
And every time I called the chaplet and put a prayer intention, she got a good report from her doctor.
That's great.
The baby's due in 2 months. Aww. And I just want to thank you all.
Oh, I'm so happy for you.
Let's pray
for
you.
Oh, well, no credit to me. All glory to God. I really believe we need to continue to pray for that baby, right? We have 2 more months to go, and we'll pray for a healthy baby. We'll consecrate it to the divine mercy. Chris, do me a favor and get a chance. Send me an email, drew@relevantradio.com. Tell me how that prayer was answered. But let's pray for you. You're going to be a great you're going to be a grandmother, enjoying a beautiful grandchild. We'll pray for your daughter. We'll pray for this child. Lord, right now, I pray for anyone who's having trouble in utero, anyone who's having trouble conceiving, anyone who's having complications, and I pray for all mothers right now. And I just give you this intention of life. We thank you for the many answered prayers. We thank you for the gift of life that you've given to us. And we pray, Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, we'll go to our next call. Before I do, can I ask you to do me a favor too? If you pray the chaplet with me every day, will you just tell one more person about it? Somebody who doesn't know about it, somebody who's in need of prayer. I just get the sense that the Holy Spirit works so powerfully when we come together like this in prayer. We hear these types of answered prayers, and you don't know whose life you're going to change just by introducing them to this prayer or encouraging them to pray with us every afternoon. Gerald's praying with us in the Villages in Florida. Hi, Gerald.
Hello. I would like you to pray for all human beings who have unique DNA. Life begins at conception, and at that time, the fertilized egg has unique DNA different from the DNA of the mother. They
That's
are
right.
two individuals. It's not my body, my choice. It is the child is different, has different DNA. It's a different individual, and we want to pray for all who have DNA of the human species. Thank you.
Gerald, first of all, thank you. Your call is so appropriate today, especially for, was it Timothy who called in from, I think he was in New York or somewhere listening? I'm delighted to have that. And this goes back to my point. We got to go to the earliest stages of life when we know it is a unique life. And let's pray for life. I'm going to take a couple more calls. Before I do, Maggie, you just got a Twitter feed. Why don't you share that? Because it could help a lot of people.
Yeah, I think Cindy is a social worker, too. So she said, Maggie, for the listener who had cancer and needs financial assistance, tell her to contact the American Cancer Society. So
right.
I don't know if she's done that, but
yeah,
there you go.
Yeah, that's great advice. So maybe they can help you with that medication. Gerald, thank you. I want to pray for this intention of all unborn children that we get this issue right and sooner rather than later. Nancy will add to the fifth decade as well. She's in Minneapolis. Good afternoon, Nancy.
Good afternoon. Quickly, I just want prayers for my friend who has going to have double knee surgery plate replacement. She's a strong woman, but I think she's very afraid of what she's going to go through.
Yeah.
Also, I just this week, I think I got hacked. And I'm asking for protection, if no other word.
Okay.
Also, my son is compelled about a conspiracy theory, and I'm very concerned about where that's taking him. And lastly, again, for the state senate in Minnesota, that it wakes up.
Well, thank you, Father.
Thank you,
Nancy, for your beautiful prayers. I mean, we'll pray for every one of these attentions, especially for your son. That is a concern. A lot of these things can take you to a very dark place. We'll pray for truth. Lord, I just pray that truth illuminate his mind and convict his heart again. That's what my prayer is, that he will understand and see that. I pray against any deceptive spirit, anything that can lead this man astray. We pray for life in Minnesota and all across the Union, those having surgeries. Lord, I pray for health and for finances and for relationships. Pray for broken and wounded hearts. I just give you my heart, and I unite it to everyone who's praying with me now. You know each one of our intentions. You know what we cry out for. I ask you today in your mercy to grant us special graces as we pray. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, please look kindly upon us and increase your mercy in us so that in difficult moments, we may not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Our Lady, Queen of Heaven.
Pray for us.
Our Lady of Good Help.
Pray for us.
Mother of Mercy.
Pray for us.
Our Lady of Guadalupe.
Pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful.
Pray for us.
Ah, St. Joseph.
Pray for us.
St. Faustina.
Pray for us.
St. John Paul II.
Pray for us.
St. Peregrine.
Pray for us.
St. Jose Maria Escriva.
Pray for us.
St. Patrick.
Pray for us.
Blessed Michael Sopochko.
Pray for us.
All you unborn children and martyrs of life.
Pray for us.
In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thanks for praying. I mean, it's such a powerful prayer, and today's such an appropriate day to pray that prayer. When we come back, I want to share a couple things with you. One, Tony Dungy, who spoke at the March for Life today, man, he has come under fire for standing up for life. I'll tell you what they're doing to him. You probably heard about this Philadelphia Flyer hockey player, too. I want to talk about that. And we'll talk about the latest of the Supreme Court and who leaked that information. So we got a lot to get into today. Peter Grandy is going to be stopping by and so much more talk. Before I go, though, please join me on that pilgrimage to Italy, okay? I know that it's going to fill up very quickly. It's going to be in September, so you got a little bit of time now to plan and maybe save your dollars. It'll be fun, though. We're going to have a wonderful time. We're going to pray together. We're going to play together. We're going to see Eucharistic miracles and have daily mass and have great Italian food. And, you know, it's just going to be a great, great trip. I'm really looking forward. If you want more information, just go to relevantradio.com/Italy. Relevantradio.com/Italy. Be some of the first to reserve your place, okay? And we'll talk more about it. I'll share some other stuff in the days ahead. I really intend to do it, but my show gets by, and I never have time to camp out and fill you in on all that's going on. But relevantradio.com/Italy, you can download a brochure there. You can call Nativity Pilgrimage, and they'll fill you in on all the details of where we're going and what's happening, okay? Short Paul's Dr. Paul Kengor joins me on the other side. Stay with me.
Tweet us your prayer intention anytime on Twitter at Drew Mariani Show.
Hi, Drew Mariani here. Hey, this September, I'm heading the Relevant Radio's Eucharistic Revival Pilgrimage to Italy with Nativity Pilgrimage. This is available to you. Information available at relevantradio.com/Italy. Yeah.
There's someone on the phone for you.
You're listening to The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Hey, thanks for hanging out with me. Good to talk with you. Thanks for praying. Please tell others about that chaplain. I just heard that promo run, too. Don't forget, get the info on this trip. It's going to be fun being in Italy in September. It's going to be a great, great trip. RelevantRadio.com/Italy. All the details are there. My wife's going to go with me, too. I'm kind of excited about that, so it'll be fun. Hey, I want to talk about some other things here, too. I'd love you to join me. I'd like to get your take on this. If you're a professional sports player, you probably, you know, get used to the media, right? You get a certain amount of exposure and fame. You also have to get used to a certain amount of infamy because there are, well, there are going to be people who don't like you because of the team you play for. I think about that with quarterbacks. Like, how many? I remember being a Philly fan growing up. You know, in our division, it was like Dallas and, you know, this Troy Aikman was playing or Tony Romo or whoever it was playing. You know, so often you don't like the Giants, the people in your division. I know the Bears and Chicago fans, they probably cannot stand Aaron Rodgers, right, from the Green Bay Packers because of that division rivalry. But they, you know, how do you – Rodgers is such a great player, right? I mean, and I think they recognize that, but it's interesting, you know. Rodgers, I'm sure, is vilified both in Illinois as well as Minnesota. But then there are other sports figures, right, who are being hailed and vilified because of their stand on social issues. Earlier this week, there's a Philadelphia Flyer. The Flyers had called what they call Pride Day, where their team wore rainbow flags on their jerseys, and they were to celebrate this LGBTQ plus agenda. And there was one player who refused to do it. His name was Ivan I can never get his name right. Provorov. Yeah, Patrick, like, help me out with this one. How do you say his name? Provorov. Did I get that right? Provorov. That's it. And he told the team he wouldn't wear the jersey. And somebody said, well, why not? He said, because of my faith. Well, what faith are you? Because I'm Russian Orthodox. Fortunately, the team's management, they're behind him. They're accommodating him. And I think it's great. But, of course, you know, the social media world and even the broadcast world went wild. I mean, he was vilified for taking his stand. How could he do that? This guy doesn't deserve to play. Why don't you go back to the country you're from if you don't like? I mean, the ugliness that was out there was terrible. Some fans seem to love him. Right now, the main sites that sell, you know, hockey jerseys and replica stuff from the Flyers, they sold out. They totally sold out of all of his gear. And that speaks volumes, right? It's simply people are saying, hey, we appreciate your stand and we're going to support you. I'm buying your jersey, right? Or I'm buying whatever the memorabilia is. So I say bravo to him. You know, if somebody made a comment the other day that, you know, you can go to a Flyers game and punch somebody in the stands, you can get in a brawl in the stands, right? Hockey's a pretty physical sport. And you come back the next day to watch the next game. But the Flyers have this policy that if you have a racial slur, I mean, if you have not a racial slur, if you have a slur against the LGBT community, you're banned for life from coming back. And I'm thinking, I'm not a big fan of slurs. I don't think you should do that. But you know, there's certain, you have a right to say what you want to say. And I don't want to go down this path because I'm not encouraging anybody to do that. But how can you physically assault somebody and be allowed to come back in the next game, but you say something that somebody doesn't like and you're banned for life? But whatever. I mean, hey, the Flyers, I love the Flyers, one of my favorite hockey teams, right? But, you know, they got behind their player there, and they respected his position. Tony Dungy, let's talk about him too, and I want to get Dr. Paul Kanger on to give me his take on this. He's another, I think he's a shining example of what it means to just be a professional on so many different levels, a broadcaster, a coach, even a father and a husband. On Wednesday, he tweeted out that he was going to be at the March for Life, right? And I shared a little bit of this earlier. And this former football player and coach, he started taking heat right away, right? The sports writer at the left-wing publication, The Nation, wrote a piece with what was supposedly an unbiased headline, right? Tony Dungy is a right-wing zealot. You talk about bias, right? He's a right-wing zealot. Why? Because he believes life begins at the moment of conception, because he believes that a child in the womb has an inalienable right to life. He believes a mother should be able to carry that child to term. That makes him a right-wing zealot. He's a right-wing zealot because he wants to go down to the March for Life and join others who share that view. right? What? What? Tony Dungy is a right-wing zealot in the NFL, and NBC don't care. That was the headline. And of course, I was being sarcastic when I said it was unbiased. I couldn't think of anything more biased, right? So, of course, Dungy was more than welcome today by the tens of thousands of fans, or the, I don't want to call them protesters, supporters of life who were at the March for Life. And I don't have a number. I wish somebody could tell me how many people showed up for the March for Life. They say it was huge, and a lot of people thought the numbers were going to be smaller. I heard his wife's speech. She spoke after him, gave a beautiful speech about life. They've, I think, adopted like 8 kids, and such a wonderful man. So the sports world is talking about those issues. Also, we'll talk Supreme Court. But I want to invite Dr. Paul Kengor to join me right now. He's a professor of political science at Grove City College of Pennsylvania. His latest book is The Devil and Belladonna, and a regular contributor here on the program. Paul, it's good to have you back with me. I just want to say, I know you are probably a Pittsburgh fan, both when it comes to the Steelers and when it comes to their hockey team as well. So the Penguins.
Yeah, but I have nothing against the Flyers or the Eagles because we beat them all the time, Drew. I mean, you know, it's not, not oh, a big deal. It. I mean, what, 5 Stanley Cups, 6 Super Bowls? How many Super Bowls do the Eagles have?
Look at that.
I think they do have one.
A little East Coast, West Coast smack talk. I love it.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm going to roll on the eastern side of the state.
Eastern part of the state. Yeah,
that's right. That's
you guys belong in New Jersey, by the way. That's how we feel about Philadelphia.
That is so funny.
By the way, I think that most of the listeners will applaud me on this statement. If we could just put your hometown of Philadelphia in New Jersey, Pennsylvania would never, ever vote for a Democratic president.
That is so funny. It's probably true. Philadelphia is terrible.
It would remain a pro-life state.
It's so true. You know, you look at that map. That's really – all kidding aside, it's a valid point. I look at the state of Pennsylvania and how red it is, right? Then you look at Philadelphia and you see how blue that is. I mean, to vote the way they did for your latest senator, to vote the way they do in these presidential elections – it's crazy. It's
interestingly, for people who don't know the politics of this, so Allegheny County, which houses Pittsburgh, it votes about 40% Republican, which is pretty high for a county with a major city. But Philly's like 90-10 in the other direction, and it's really made it almost impossible for any pro-life Republican to win anymore in this state. It's really, really, really quite sad. But anyway. But that said, I'm with this hockey player who, like you, I can't pronounce his name, so I'll admit that.
I can't.
But look, I read the comments this morning from different sports people, and I think, Drew, I think most of them must be Canadian because I didn't recognize most of those names, and it's very much a reflection of how radically secular progressive. You know, dictatorship of relativism culture has swept up Canada, and these people are religious bigots, and they are claiming that this man is using his religion to discriminate, using his religion as a source of bigotry. That they tout diversity and tolerance, but they will not tolerate somebody who disagrees with them. Period. You know, they talk all about diversity, but their diversity is not extended to somebody who disagrees with them. Real tolerance is about tolerating, right, an opinion that you disagree with. And also, too, I this really bothers me. There's no talk at all about how these players on these teams, and by the way, it's January, it's not June. It's not Pride Month, okay? All right? It's not Pride Month. And they're doing it to baseball players in June. These athletes are coerced and bullied by these cultural bullies into wearing these flags. And then the minute that somebody has the courage to stand up and say, I'm sorry, but my faith is against this and I can't wear this, then they jump all over them. So they are cowardly. They are bullies. And they are exactly what they accuse others of. They are bigots. They are anti-religious bigots.
It's such a great point. I had the same reaction when I heard these stories. I said, you know, there was a point when those who were in the gay rights movement, they just wanted equal rights, right? They wanted equal rights. They wanted to be at the bedside of the person they loved when they were dying.
Sure.
Today, it has gone so far beyond that Where now this
we
is
knew
being,
it would.
Now it's being forced, you know, now you're being forced to wear a shirt that has a rainbow flag that you don't want to wear. You know, there's no tolerance to your point. I mean, it's always about why can't we be tolerant? We all have to get along. You know, let's respect each other, right? But when you disagree or you hold an alternative view like Coach Dungy does, that he believes life is sacred or that you believe marriage is between a man and a woman, that's not tolerated. That is not tolerated. You should lose your job as a broadcaster, as a coach. You know, you should be vilified. You should be looked like you're some evil human being. And there's a great spirit of intolerance now. And I don't know how you get that back because I don't think that's representative of everybody at large. Is it a small contingent that is so radical that – but they get this outside voice because the media is behind them. These institutions get behind them.
Well, that's right. And that Nation writer who trashed Tony Dungy, by the way, former Steeler, Tony Dungy, I got to point that out. But but that Nation writer is very ignorant. Does he not realize that Tony Dungy campaigned for Barack Obama?
Yeah.
But why doesn't he look that up? And I bet that no one in the Nation complained about that. In fact, I remember at the time that it happened because that he campaigned for Obama because a lot of us knew about Tony Dungy. I had followed him for years. After he left the Steelers, he became a Super Bowl winning coach with the Indianapolis Colts, the Peyton Manning team. Mm-hmm. And I remember he was an outspoken pro-lifer. And I remember, Drew, thinking, why is he endorsing Obama? Obama at that point was infamous, remember, for things he had already done on abortion in the Illinois state legislature, including rejecting born-alive infant protection acts. Obama came into the presidency with a horrible record, pro-life record. And Tony Dungy at that point was already known as an outspoken pro-lifer.
Right.
And Dungy supported yeah. Obama because he was black.
Yeah.
And it would have been the first black president. A lot of us were very offended by that. We said, you're putting aside your pro-life
right.
principles
right.
and you're going to get burned on this. And no one on the left complained about that.
No.
But yeah, there's no reason why Tony Dungy, as a sports figure, as a broadcaster, should not be tolerated
right.
to go to the March for Life and stand in support of life. Again, the bigotry of the supposed tolerance crowd,
yeah.
right again on display.
You got it. My guest today, Dr. Paul Kengor. I have to take a short pause when we come back. We'll talk more. If you want to join the conversation, I'll open the phones. You can dial in at 888-914-9149. 888-914-9149. And we're talking a little bit about Coach Dungy and Philadelphia Flyers. And I also want to talk Supreme Court. Still no resolution in that, but story that I think deserves a little bit of conversation. So stay with us. We're back with more right after this. This hour is sponsored by Creative Planning. How is your Catholic faith influencing your financial future? More info, including disclosures at creativeplanning.com/Catholic Focus.
The Drew Mariani Show is on Relevant Radio.
Hey, thanks for joining me. Dr. Paul Kengor is here with me today. And Dr. Kengor is the editor at the American Spectator. You can check out all his writings. Are you the managing editor there, doctor, by the way?
No, I'm the editor-in-chief, actually.
Editor-in-chief. All
so,
right.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah, succeeding R.M. Terrell Jr. And, in fact, I should point out, we lost one of our writers today, Drew, George Neumayer.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you heard this, but he died. He died tragically in Africa yesterday. The family said that that it was malaria, and he's a prominent Catholic writer, and he was really, really good guy, solid guy,
wow.
and was absolutely shocked when
awesome.
when I heard that this morning. Yeah, it really is.
So it's AmericanSpectator.org or .com?
It's Spectator.org.
Spectator.org.
Just Google. Yeah, if you just Google the American Spectator, I have a weekly column there,
And people can sign up and get my columns for free if they'd like.
Always good stuff. I read it and I get them all the time. I'm grateful for your writing and for your contribution. Dr. Kengor and I were just talking during the break, and I said, "How many kids do you have?" "It's eight, right?" He said, I've got eight.
I have eight.
And I was sharing, I had heard Coach Dungy's wife speaking earlier today, and she talked about how, you know, they've adopted one child, and next thing you know, they were adopted a second. They had eight adopted children. And I heard that this guy, you know, would say to his players or others, "Look, if you get a girl pregnant, you know, please do not make the mistake of abortion. You know, I have a big enough house, and my wife and I would love to take that child." So he walks the walk, as you and I were talking, doesn't he? I think it's such a noble thing to say, a man who's open to life, adopted eight kids, and yet is being vilified.
Right. Yeah, and you know, the pro-choicers all the time, right? They'll say, "Well, if you're really pro-life, why don't you go adopt some of these children?"
Right.
Well,
right.
We do. And Dungy and his wife said, "Okay, how about if I adopt eight of them?" Okay,
right.
And then I'll open say this to my players as well. Yeah. And he's walking the walk. It's the kind of thing that they just when they demand, they put out these demands, right? "Well, if you're pro-life, then adopt." Okay.
Right.
But we did it. Should I get a pat on the back for that one? Right.
That's funny.
And then they just go and growl about something else. Right. But they ought to appreciate the fact that this guy practices what he preaches on life.
Yeah. Let's go to the phones, Doctor. We'll take a few calls. We're also talking about the Philadelphia Flyers. I'll try to say his name. I'll butcher it. I think it's Ivan.
Yeah, give it up.
Provorov. I'm going to say it like that, like I know what I'm talking about. Provorov. Anyway, if you're not familiar with the story, he told the Flyers, "Hey, I want to wear this rainbow-colored jersey." They were having a Pride Day, and he got lambasted as well for standing up for what he believes. And if you want to sound off, feel free to. Matt is in Clayton, North Carolina. Matt, thanks for joining us.
Hey, Drew. Hey, Paul. How's it going?
Hey, great.
Hey, good.
Hey, I just wanted to bring up two quick comments. You know, this isn't the first time that a professional athlete has been being thrown under the bus for his beliefs. Last baseball season, a number of Tampa Bay Rays players on their Pride night, every team does it, refused to wear the rainbow patch of their logo.
I remember that.
And I think it may have made headlines, but I don't remember the team or the players being thrown under the bus as much as this Flyers player was. And I think maybe a week later, the story took place on the back burner.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
I did
good point.
A tweet today.
I saw, Go ahead, Matt. Go ahead.
Okay, I saw a tweet today that was very interesting that, you know, when a few weeks ago, we know when Damar Hamlin suffered that serious cardiac arrest, all of a sudden God was on center stage, that everyone was praying. All of a sudden the NFL was okay with praying again. Everyone was invoking God's name to heal Damar Hamlin. And now you have a guy from the Flyers who's honoring God's law, standing up for his beliefs, and all of a sudden he's being attacked, God's being attacked. Which is it? You can't have it both ways.
Matt, great call.
Yeah.
Doctor, I'll let you follow up because somebody just sent me an email here just saying, what's the difference between this guy for the Flyers and Kaepernick?
Yeah, no, it's a great point. In fact, Mark Hendrickson, one of our writers of the American Spectator, wrote a nice piece about Damar Hamlin, who, by the way, speaking of Pittsburgh stuff, so he was a Pitt player, just like me. He went to the University of Pittsburgh, a fellow Pitt alumni, and he went to Central Catholic High School in Pittsburgh. And so I don't know if Damar Hamlin is Catholic or not, but that's one of the main Catholic schools in Pittsburgh. It's where Dan Marino went, a number of other people. But Mark Hendrickson wrote a piece for us at American Spectator on how the Damar Hamlin thing shows that America really does respect life. And we thought, well, it does for someone like Damar Hamlin. But they're not going to be the same way about life in the womb, right? And then you have another football person like Tony Dungy who comes forth and goes to the March for Life, and suddenly he's attacked for it. So you know, it was nice to see the outpouring of support for Damar Hamlin, and that became such a sort of groupthink situation that imagine I thought of this, Drew, right? I mean, first of all, you and I both would have been among the guys on that football field, you know, kneeling down and praying for Damar Hamlin.
Absolutely.
But did you notice no one dared say, you know what, I'm not a believer, I'm an atheist, and I'm not kneeling
right,
here.
Right.
I'm standing up, right? No one dared to do that. not in this situation. They would have been vilified. The sports announcer, Skip Bayless, said something that was, you know, kind of insensitive or maybe very insensitive. And he was just, there, people were, Shannon Sharp, others were, people were demanding that he be fired.
Wow.
for what he said. So the whole kind of groupthink thing always bothers me. The herd mentality, even if a herd is going in the right direction on an issue, right? It still bothers me. And the moment that anybody, you know, goes against the line, man, the way they come crashing down on you, and those players last year in baseball, that's exactly right. And baseball being a sport that plays in June,
right.
You know, they're going to have to deal with this every single team, probably. I think it's outrageous that hockey is doing this in January. Why are they even doing this right now? It's not even Pride Month of all things.
And no idea.
But the cultural bullies are at it.
It's so true. Hey, Paul, thank you for your time. Doctor, it's always good to have you here. I've got less than a minute to go. Spectator.org. What's your latest article about it? People want to read it.
Yeah, thanks. I wrote a piece called I Am the Eggman, playing from the I Am the Walrus song,
right.
Yes, by the Beatles. So it's kind of a parody piece, and people can check that out.
I Am the Eggman.
I Am the Eggman.
I'm intrigued.
Yes,
I'm intrigued.
right.
Hey, enjoy your weekend.
All right, you too.
All right,
take care.
Thanks.
God bless.
That's Dr. Paul Kengor. It's news and headlines are straight ahead. I have to take a short pause here. I'll be back on the other side. The markets closed today mixed on the week, and Peter Grandage will be stopping by. I'll give you the latest on what's happening. And I got some breaking news, too, for you. We'll get to it in the next hour. This is a fascinating story that just came across my radar. Stay with me.